Oh boy, on this episode, we are dealing with my car getting broken into, and I hope we think of some solutions because I'm tired of wandering around the neighborhood with a sword. We're getting fixed, our worries, our next test has the kick. All the qualities, we're getting fixed, our worries, our next test has the kick. All the qualities, we're getting fixed, our worries, our next test has the kick. All the qualities.
They say if you can't beat them, join them. But if you can't join them because they won't let you, plant insidious rumors about them. Drive a wedge between them so that you can isolate them apart from one another, and then you can beat them or join them because you're coming at a position of power and you've weakened them. Welcome to the Grawlix Saves the World. My name is Adam Caton Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And this is a podcast about making your world a better place. And a little bird told me, we don't like to get topical on the pod. We don't, because who knows when you're listening to this, but I know for a fact yesterday was Andrew's birthday. So I want to start out the pod by saying happy birthday
Andrew. Buddy.
Thank you.
Happy it was a great one for you.
Birthday.
And there's a question I've been dying to ask you.
Well, Adam, real quick, I want to say that we always do it when we do birthday shout outs. We do a little nice little thing for the people. And so I would like to do a birthday thing with Andrew where you and I each take a guess as to the year Andrew was born. Now, I will go first. Andrew's birthday, I suspect, was December 21st, 1939.
I think I hear that. Because I know he comes from Dust Bowl stock.
Yes.
And so, like, his parents were either lamenting the loss of a farm or they had a windfall economically and they fucked and had Andrew. I'm going 1948. And here's why. I know 1968, Andrew was this sort of ambitious college student. He's ready to change the world. And then that same year, Bobby Kennedy gets assassinated. MLK gets assassinated.
It rocked his world.
And Andrew, and I'm just wondering, what was that like, Andrew, to live through?
Did it feel like the world was ending?
How was that for you?
Oh, I hate the birthday shout outs.
Wait, no, I think you're just adjusting to them. Having come to the age of 18 in 1957, one would feel uncomfortable with such technological advances, but
100%. And in your ear, people you can't see saying happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Andrew, maybe you can answer the question. Who did put the bomb in the bomb-a-lomp-a-lomp? Because we don't know.
Want to take that again? Do you want to take it again?
Who put the ram in the ram-a-lam-a-ding-dong? And everybody wants to know that.
Yeah. Do you have any answers on that, Andrew? Or do you care to answer the 1968 question? Because I feel like a lot of people and our listeners are very like, we're living in end times. The world is such a scary place. And Andrew, you're here to say, hey, I've lived through this already. And you can get through
several apocalypses words of already.
Wisdom,
guys,
anything you got for the listener?
It comes and goes.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know though who put the dit in the dit the dip the dip? Like, because we're anyway. We'll get back to it. Andrew,
Ron, can you mute Ben for the rest of this episode?
What you're listening to is two guys on a podcast, yes, anding one another. And it's weaponized at another guy. And that guy will not yes and it back because he knows the quickest way to end the riff is just a middle finger of no. And I want to rescind my happy birthday to you because you've been no fun. I hope you had a terrible birthday yesterday.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Birthday take backs. Hurtful.
Yeah.
Very hurtful. Well, I had a great birthday because neither of you were involved with it and had a pretty good day.
That's fun. You're fucking 84 years old, dude. You're 84 years old. I wasn't going to come hang out with you. We're going to have a blast.
I was trying to find the ointment that you prefer, and I couldn't. So what, am I going to show up empty-handed without your preferred ointment? I couldn't find it. They don't make it anymore.
Yeah. It had lead in it.
That's what lead and mercury in it. And you were rubbing it all over yourself.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday,
Ollie's
shit
mercury rub. It worked, though. It worked.
Oh, what was the name of the cream that the woman with the purse had?
It was Colonial Dames.
Oh, that's right. You wear Revolutionary Gentleman's mercury salve. Yes.
The official salve of Mel Gibson, The Patriot, which is a badass movie, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen that. I'll vouch for Mel Gibson's The Patriot. Listen, not Mel Gibson, his political views. I hate his anti-Semitism as a half-Jew. I resent it. But The Patriot, kind of a banger movie, dudes.
Not really.
No, it was terrible, Adam. And
so, what's going on in everyone's lives? Whose world's disrupted?
Who's got something?
I have an issue to bring up. Just a treat on my birthday week. This is something that I would like to dig into, and I could use y'all's possible solutions for. My car got broken into. Yeah, I've moved back to Denver recently. Was here about a month, and Denver welcomed me back with a good old fashioned car break in.
No shit, because think you would agree with me that, like, I bet the area of Lakewood where you lived before, you probably call that sketchier, right? Than the area of Denver.
Oh yeah,
where you
I called
are
my
now.
Old neighborhood Riff Raff City. It was seemed so sketchy. Never had any issues. Once I saw plenty of crimes over there, but never like personally experienced them. But yep, back here, boom, car broken into.
Well, let's pause then. Let's not get too deep into this. I want to hear this story. I want to know what happened. And I'm sure
it was not an ordinary break in. I'll give you that little tease. It was not an ordinary car break in.
Oh, now I'm intrigued.
Ben, before we kick to the break, I do feel bad about rescinding Andrew's happy birthday, and I'd like
Jesus,
to
this back and forth with the birthday. Either give birthday. It to me or keep
I'd
it.
I'd like to give him a birthday like we used to do Patreon shout outs. Ben, Andrew's preferred childhood toy. What do you think he played with when he was a kid?
Well, it was a bandsaw. His dad got him a full size bandsaw that he used to play with in the garage. And boy,
no, I had to use it for work. No, I was working at 8.
Yeah, but I want you enjoyed it. You've talked about how much you love that. And when
you
I went
did
to
enjoy it and you learned how to make it, it would make sounds. You'd play little songs with it. I think Andrew's favorite, most cherished childhood toy was just a circle with a stick, just a little wheel.
Oh, the classic stick and wheel.
Down the
you
front.
Know what? You can't beat a classic. Yeah. You can't beat a classic.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, look. We got to pay the bills with a quick ad break. If you don't like these ad breaks, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/GrolicSaves. We've got 3 tiers, all kinds of bonus content. Give that a little look-see, and we'll be back digging in to car break-ins.
And while you're on that Patreon, why don't you let us know what's disrupting your world? Perhaps we could help you solve it. Send us some things going on in your life, and we can talk about it on Patreon. We can get to the bottom of your problems.
Everybody, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about this break-in and see what we can do to help Andrew with that. Stay tuned.
Hey, do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4, ad-free episodes, birthday shout-outs, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/GrolicSaves.
I do want to sign up.
I have long feared that my sins would return to visit me. And the cost is more than I can bear.
A past he wanted to forget.
I've been to war, and I have no desire to do so again. I have 7 children. I do not wish to leave them fatherless.
A family threatened by war.
We have to do something.
I forbid you to go!
My child!
You're my child!
A son fighting for his beliefs.
When I have a family of my own, I won't hide behind them.
Hang him, put his body on display.
Colonel, I beg you, by the rules of war.
Would you like a lesson, sir, in the rules of war?
Or perhaps your children will.
Welcome back to Act Two through the magic of podcasting. We are back, and I really am excited to hear about Andrew's saga, but I do have to express a little bit of disappointment in the two of you. I dangled a little Mel Gibson fruit.
Oh, no.
I dangled some Mel Gibson fruit to see if maybe we could talk about preferred flicks. And I even got you off the hook. I said he's an anti-Semite. I said he's a piece of shit. Now let's move past that and talk about what your favorite movies of his are. And I offered up a first one. I said The Patriot. I always like colonial settings and whatnot. And neither one of you would go down the road with me. And I ask you, what is the point of this? What is the point of the podcast if I can't bring things I'm excited to talk about to my friends and have them talk with me? You claim to be certified, licensed talkers. I bring a talking point, and you say, nay, no thank you. So I just
I don't want to discuss 20-year-old Mel Gibson movies with you.
It's what's on my mind this morning, Andrew, and I didn't realize that I had to fucking clear hurdles for you, whether that's appropriate or
you
not.
You woke up thinking about Mel Gibson's The Patriot?
I went to sleep thinking about it and was still thinking about it this morning.
We teased me being old in Act One. That's the oldest shit I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, it's
waking
so
up
as old
thinking
as America.
About Mel
as
old
Gibson's as the start of America. That's how old it is.
I don't eat the fruit from the Mel Gibson trees in Rift City. They've been sprayed by pesticides repeatedly. The fruit is not.
You don't get sick. I eat it.
Yeah,
you don't get sick.
But they're
you get used to it.
Burdensome fruit. It's heavy and it's problematic. And
it's a lot of seeds.
But I will say my favorite Mel Gibson movie is Payback.
That's all I'm asking for.
Payback.
Oh, yeah, Payback was a fun movie. They did a good job with
that one.
That
was a great fucking movie. And remember, on Those Who Can't,
we had the bad guy on our show. Yeah, we had the bad guy from
Bryce
that. I was like, oh my gosh, it was like seeing a star because I have shitty taste in movies.
Payback was a good flick, and he was funny in that. I quote him all the time. Yeah. Did you see me reaching for my fucking wallet? I do that whenever somebody is like, I got it. I'll be like.
When you go out to dinner with people and yeah, they're.
Yeah, Andrew, that's when it's fucking used for, okay? That's maybe I know sarcasm wasn't around when you were born, that it's a relatively new invention. And when you were coming of age in the early 1940s, I know that it was
in unincorporated Earnestness County.
Yeah.
Where there was no sarcasm.
Yeah, it wasn't sarcasm. The sarcasm fields hadn't been sowed yet. And there wasn't. That was
so the problem was that I brought the wrong movie then, because Payback.
Wow.
Hey, let's have a conversation, and that's all I was fucking asking for.
You did
so
bring the
you
wrong
did
movie.
Bring the wrong
if
movie.
I
that
brought
movie
Lethal
is
Weapon,
pure garbage.
Lethal Weapon
yeah,
would do it for you,
fucking
Andrew.
Movie.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but sure.
It feels like you're down to riff with Ben today, and not me.
I guess I am. Ben and I can go watch Payback again, and you can fuck off, Adam, with your birthday.
Sorry, Andrew, the two boys.
Tell us about your car. Tell us about your car. Ben, thanks for the seed of a riff.
I'd like to...
Yeah, I'm all ears.
I love an Adam.
I can't wait to hear your solutions. I can't wait for you to help me with this, you piece of shit.
Oh, I've got a solution. Maybe you should go fuck yourself and your car.
Well,
I'm going to find out that you did this, I bet.
That's the fucking cliffhanger. Adam fucking robbed Andrew's car. No, go ahead.
Yeah, what a reveal.
Go ahead. I just had to air my grievance.
So the other day, I walk outside and I discover my car door is open and there are things all over inside my car as if a raccoon has gotten inside.
Ben, that's referred to as a jar. When they say a jar, that's what that means, Ben. Go ahead, Andrew.
He is very angry and very petty right now about the Mel Gibson.
He is hard to deal with Ben. I'm just going to aside with you real quick. He is hard to deal with.
When the door's open, people will say a jar.
And when it's when a riff has been baked and we refuse to try a piece of it, he gets very...
Yeah, he brought the wrong dish to the potluck, and he's got that awkward walk home where you've got the whole full casserole dish.
Guess
with
you're
going to
be eating
no
Mel Gibson
it.
For
not
the
even
next
a taste.
Week. You're going to be eating...
Not even a taste. We should all be
enjoy
so lucky.
The. You'll be your enjoying Cold Patriot at
jar.
Home.
The door of your car was ajar.
I walk inside. My door is ajar. There's stuff all over the inside of my car. My glove box is open. I was with my daughter. She's like, "Oh my God, like what happened?" I was like, "Oh, someone broke into our car." And so I had to like inventory everything. I've had my car broken into before. This was the most, this is not a compliment, although it sounds like it could be, the most courteous and discerning robbery I've ever had. They went through everything. They clearly thoroughly examined the inventory of my car. All they took was, I had a bag of change that I used for meters, just like spare change. I would keep it in a bag.
You do know they take credit cards now, Andrew.
I do, but you get change in your life bin and you need a place to put it. I happen to keep mine in a bag in the center console of my car.
As a man with a check in his wallet, I admire it and respect it.
For those of you who have been listening for a while, Adam would love this because Adam pays for everything.
He's
with
got
checks.
A blank check in his wallet.
And you have a change purse in your car. They're great moves.
Yeah.
You need that money?
Yep. I pay via
you
social
like
media.
Trump right
I do
there.
Everything.
They're great moves. Should you need that money? That sounded like Trump.
You did.
Oh, fuck. I'm talking Gibson. I sound like Trump. This is trouble, dudes. You got to cancel me this podcast.
Yeah.
So wait, Andrew, keep going.
So they took all the money, all the change, obviously. They weren't that courteous. And they took a pair of reading glasses. I hope they worked out for them. and they left everything else. They left the car paperwork. There was like a tax document in there they left. They left a nice little Patagonia windbreaker in there. They left...
no, not like the Patagonia windbreaker.
It's a great coat. It's this coat called the Houdini. It folds up. You can put it in your back pocket. It's a great ass coat. If you had half a brain, you'd steal
well,
that coat.
Well, you
out
know
of somebody's
I love
car
to wear
if you're in the car.
I love to wear an ass coat this time of year,
it's a great ass coat. Yeah, it's a little
hey,
the Patagonia
nice
ass
coat. Nice ass coat.
What is an ass coat?
Back in the day, they called them diapers, but coat does sound better. It does sound.
Oh my God, that ass coat is
do you
full.
Mean, do you
my
mean
puffy,
ass cot? No,
my
no, I
puffy
don't.
Jacket.
I mean ass coat.
And what a,
my Cotopaxi ass coat.
Patagonia makes the finest ass coats you've ever seen.
Anybody from Patagonia listening, we are available for ass coat ad reads should you need
them. Yeah, and you're welcome for the free Houdini jacket shout out. It's
for
a great
real.
Jacket. It's perfect because you keep it in your car like I was doing. So they went through, they took the reading glasses. I don't know if they thought the reading glasses could possibly be valuable, and they don't know the reading glasses are an impulse buy at Home Depot. They're at the same value level as gum, but they took the reading glasses. I like to think that they just needed them. Like as they were going through all my shit, they're like holding it up to varying lengths like, oh, fuck, I could use, oh, wait, here we go. Perfect. So they took that stuff and they scampered off with it, leaving me to clean it up and kind of go through everything. But after the fact, the first thing that disturbed me was I could smell, the person had a smell that I could smell in my car. Not like an overwhelming smell like you might get on people sometimes. It was like a subtle smell. It was the smell that you might smell when just like a friend has been in your car or something. But it was just like, I was like, this is somebody else's smell.
Yeah, dude. That's
in
like
my car.
Intimate and a violation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. But yeah, and just like the sense of violation of somebody just in my car going through all my shit, and then just like leaving it with the door open like that.
You're also in a brand new place, like you just moved here, and now that's a shitty feeling. It makes you sort of probably question the choice a little bit or the neighborhood or all of it. It's like,
Totally. And as we all know, living in Denver, Denver is much like old Detroit and RoboCop now these days. And so to have this happen just like straight up was definitely jarring. I think I know exactly when it happened, too. I think it happened at like 10 at night. There was this white SUV that stopped short outside. It was like double parked in the street. I saw it out my window. Didn't really think anything of it. Thought maybe they were picking somebody up. And then like, I don't know. 2 minutes later, I heard a car alarm going off, and I opened the door. It wasn't my car. It was another car still on my block, and I was just kind of like looking out because you don't even hear car alarms that often these days, but I was like, oh, there's somebody's alarm going off, and I looked around and didn't see anything and shut my door, but I think that they probably did it then. I bet they pull up, and they just check all the doors, see what's unlocked, grab what they can, and leave, and 10 p.m. is a great time to do it because there's still enough traffic around that you won't really stick out. If you're out robbing cars, you know, 2, 3 a.m., you're really noticeable. It's like, who is this person out here? So hats off to them for picking a great time. And if I can give, there should be an app where I can review the robbery, like Yelp. That overall 5-star robbery, guys. You were conscientious and you picked a great time to do it. But they didn't break a window, luckily, because I think I must have left my door unlocked. I try to always lock it, but I must have left it unlocked.
So that's a positive to start looking at here is you didn't have to replace any kind of windshield. Windows or anything like that. They didn't try to fucking jimmy a lock maybe or anything. You don't.
Yeah, power locks. It seemed relatively.
It's mostly just the feeling of like, oh, there's somebody who just like got in to my shit, that kind of just invasive feeling.
I've been robbed a few times before, both my house and my vehicles. And every time there's like this window of time afterward of like, it just paranoia. Like I'm like, I find myself looking out of my car all the time.
Did you call the police or did you deem that as anybody else would as being completely and utterly worthless to call the cops?
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm not going to waste anyone's time on that. No, I did not call the police. Yeah.
How's your kiddo feel about it all? Have they talked about it more or did it upset them or just kind of in the moment that was it?
I think I tried to play it off as like, I was just kind of like, oh wow, somebody broke into our car and kind of just like tried to stick with the positives of like, hey, look, they didn't take any of our paperwork. They didn't take, you know, they didn't try to steal the car. I had a theory that they broke in to try to steal it, but then discovered it was a manual and didn't know how to drive it, which is also a possibility.
That's actually a very big possibility is that they couldn't drive it.
But I just tried to not be like, I just kind of like handle it as best I could. But she didn't seem too worried about it. She was more disturbed. We saw this woman stealing mail in my old neighborhood. She just did it right in front of us. And that disturbed her more, I guess, because she actually saw it happen. And the woman, it was like some yelling involved. It was kind of an awkward situation.
Yeah, that's pretty brazen. That'll make you like look at that person and be like, "That I'm kind of scared of that person. If they just do it out in the open."
That's a pretty desperate person.
Adam, have you ever been broken into or burglarized at all?
Yeah. One thing that made me remind me of, Andrew, is when I went to San Francisco in April with my family just on vacation and we rented a car. And first of all, it took a long time. We flew into Oakland. It took a long time to get the car because the guy was like, oh, yeah, all our cars are just getting stolen left and right. And I was like, oh, shit, really? And he's like, yeah. So it took like an hour for a car to arrive for us. And then
they're just retrieving them. Yeah, we just got this one back.
I mean, it was like when they come in, but I've never been so warned about car break-ins. He's like, anywhere you go, if you go to Fisherman's Wharf, any tourist area, like be very careful. Park in a covered lot. Don't park in an outdoor lot. And you would see cars parked with the trunks open just to be like, I got nothing. The window's down, the trunk's open, like there's nothing in here. I was just like,
oh, wow. It's like the equivalent of leaving a bowl of candy out on Halloween, when you're not home. You're like, just take it all, first person who stops by.
No, it's just leaving an empty bowl out.
Exactly.
There's no candy
Nothing. We have nothing. So did they break into it?
Well, no, we had no problems with our rental car, but despite the warnings, but the the only burglary, I guess I've had several, but the one that really stays with me was when I was a kid, fourth grade, third grade. My mom was like super sick. She got, I think it was called Streptococcus. It was the disease that like Jim Henson died of.
You got it from around, Michael Dukakis.
And she got it from Michael Dukakis. Famously had an affair with him during that presidential thing, nearly broke up my parents.
Worth it.
Worth it. She said it was the best 3 months of her life, and she still stands by that. But which is weird. She tells my dad on holidays. She had that disease, so she was like really sick in bed for months. It took a while to like determine what it was, and we were all upset about that. And my dad was obviously very upset, and so it was like the one night he forgot to maybe even shut the back door. I can't remember. But it was like the one night he didn't lock the back door or shut the back door. And my job during then, like my chore was to feed the cats. And I remember I'd been in bed and I had not fed the cats. So I went downstairs like, oh, got to feed the cats. Quiet house. I go down, I feed the cats. I notice that the kitchen TV's missing. And then I look and I see that the back door is open. And so I just like shut the back door and like don't think of anything. Maybe they moved their little portable TV somewhere else. And then we go to sleep. And I come back the next morning. People broke in. They take like these fancy watches. They found my mom's keys, went into the garage, took the car, took the TV, took all that shit. And then the cops said when they came, they're like, it was very likely that I scared them out of the house coming down. At night,
they were in the house.
Cat burglars. That's,
I mean, they were trying to do all a timeline this shit
while you were home.
Well, we were all asleep upstairs, and I woke up to be like, "Oh, you forgot to feed the cats," and I came downstairs. So we were at home asleep.
Dude,
robbery.
That's a scary one.
It was a very scary one. And the cops were like, "You know, we can't be 100% sure, but odds are you probably scared them out of the house or whatever." And that one stayed with us for a long time. That fucks with your sense of like.
The important thing is, we shot a teenager down the street who may or may not be involved.
God. Okay.
So that was the one when we talk about like burglaries or robberies. That was the one.
That's like a nightmare situation.
Absolutely.
It's
fucking nightmare because I've been robbed at gunpoint when I worked at a record store, and I've had cars broken into. And
what was their line when they robbed you at gunpoint?
He came into the place and he walked.
It was Ben's line. This is going to be bad for your health.
This could be very dangerous for your health.
He came in. That would have been amazing.
This gun has been proven by the state of California.
You're going to get lead poisoning, bro. No, he just came in and he put one stick of incense on the counter. And I was like, okay. And I knew what was going to happen. He had his hand in his pocket. We'd been warned about a string of robberies. And I just was like, okay. I was like 13 cents. And I didn't open the drawer because I knew that's what he wanted. And he put a quarter on the counter. And I was like, I gave him change out of the save a penny. And he goes, no, 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 open the drawer. And I was like, and he goes, this is a 38 I've got in my pocket. And I'll shoot you if you don't give me all the money in it. So I just gave him all the money in it. But
I love that you were trying to passive aggressive your way out of a robbery.
I just didn't want to open the drawer. I was afraid that, I was trying to pause what was happening.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of crazy. Like, he could have just held the gun and said, open the drawer. I kind of am giving this dude style points for the single piece of incense. Like,
you know, I don't.
I mean, if you pull the gun out, anyone walking by in the window sees you're greatly increasing your chances of getting. Cut. You're better
he
off.
He just kept
just
it at his side,
like
gun. Down by the counter, like kind of. People can't see what I'm doing, but just right by his ribs, right where a pocket of a jacket would be, and hidden at his side. And he just pointed it at me and was and
San Jose wow, Sharks poncho scary, jacket. Dude. Random
no,
guess.
It was
San
like
Jose
a, it was a weird jacket. It had a bunch of strange.
It was a good guess though.
It had a bunch of strange writing on the back of it. But I remember
Columbia ass coat.
It's one of the early Charlotte Hornets ass coats. When the Hornets.
Oh, I love that color scheme.
No, I remember though leaving and feeling incredibly vulnerable. Like my ears were ringing, like from stress. I felt unsafe. And so because of that process, and Andrew, I mean, I don't know if this will necessarily apply, but for people listening, there are things you can do after a burglary, or a break-in, because it's, that's the thing. I felt fucking violated. Like, I was like I didn't feel safe going home. I didn't feel safe. Like, it was a weird thing that I thought, I lived on Colfax, like right on Colfax for a lot of years. I'd seen a lot of fucked up
for
shit.
For our listeners abroad, Colfax is a sort of seedy street that runs right through Denver. That's
It's kind America's of, longest running called, commercial street, east to west. Yeah. They probably heard of it.
But
I mean, great point, Andrew. Very but great but point. People, just some context for a listener,
out of the country,
Denver.
It is, and outside of the state, Colfax is notoriously, on both ends, has a lot of rough parts to it. It's awesome too.
Oh, it's the roughest in Denver, and it has always been the roughest in Denver.
And it's great. It's also kind of an odd pride of the city. Like, Colfax dissects it. It splits the city in half, and it bisects it. I've seen wild shit, and that one freaked me the fuck out.
Let's turn this into a Colfax podcast. Playboy magazine once referred to it as the longest, wickedest street in America.
Yeah, wow. It's awesome. But I lived off, and there was always shit that happened. This one rocked me. It got in my head, and I was afraid to go back to work for a short time. And do you feel that way, Andrew? Do you feel like any nervousness, being that it was so close to your house? Is there anxiety? Are you feeling anything like that about it?
Yeah, for sure. It's not as bad as some robberies I've had to deal with. This one was relatively kind of low key, but yeah, definitely just the fact that somebody just got into my shit. They read all the documents in my glove box. They know, you know, my name. I don't know. There's just something about it.
They know about your $1.38 residual for those who can't episode.
I wish it was $1.38.
You're getting a dollar. I want a buck and a half, dude. Yeah. Almost a buck.
I guess
and
that's
a half.
What happens when you're number one on the call sheet. Hey, Andrew, I do want to know, because you've got so many crazy fucking stories. What is the worst robbery you've ever had? Like,
gosh, the worst one. I'll come back to the worst one, but I do have a question for all of you. I felt like, every time I get robbed, I feel like karmically, I feel like I deserved it. Because as a teenager, as a naughty teen, I did terrible shit. And one of the terrible things that I did,
I don't like it. It sounds like you had a short stint in adult films when you were a naughty teen. And I just
I'm picturing Andrew in a nightie that just covers his ass.
Oh, God. A true ass coat. But anyway.
No, I was a terrible kid. And we would go, this other kid called it car shopping. It was my friend Jeremy's buddy. I forget this guy's name, and thank God, because we didn't hang out with him that long, but he's the one who brought it. We were already little awful teens, and he brought car shopping to the color palette. And we would go out in the middle of the night and check car doors and rummage through people's cars. And I never did it. I was like the lookout, but my friends did it. We did it all the time. And they would just do what was done to me. You just go through the car and you take the shit you want and you move on to the next car. And yeah, we were like, oh, this is cool and fun. And until one night we were walking, I guess this idiot must have done like the same turf over and over again. Because we rounded the corner and this guy was waiting very specifically outside for a group exactly like us to come bumbling into view. And he chased us like he was going to fucking murder us. And we ran down into this creek. We were like laying in the mud. This guy was like threatening to like beat the fuck out of us, like stalking around in the dark. And that was my last time car shopping. But every time my car gets broken into, I'm like, yeah, that's what it feels like. That's what it felt like for those people, and now you get to see.
Because you were young and you did this, that karmically it's okay for it to happen. Does that like ease some of it? Like thinking these are probably just kids, like young people, doing this.
This is like, I think, just a person that was desperate to they need money, you know, something like that.
Yeah, the eyeglasses.
Yeah, I think a young person would have stolen more stuff. They would have stolen more stuff out of the car. But yeah, I think it was just a person where this is like how they scrounge together. It's like they're checking car doors and they're grabbing stuff. I think the worst break-in, just because it happened at a terrifying time, was when I was living in L.A. Ben and I were dealing with this like stalker person who was like messaging us. I think we've alluded to it on previous episodes of this podcast.
For people who have listened to past episodes, this is the one that wanted to put me in a diaper. This was around that time.
An ass coat.
A pair of Pampers ass coats and feed me until I was quote unquote a fat baby.
Yeah, that's what they wanted to do to me. But they said they wanted to break into my house and tie me up and feed me and watch me visibly get fatter. And they had a picture of my house that they posted on their Instagram. And it was the only picture on their Instagram was my house in LA. And at that same time period, someone broke into my house. I had a security system and I got a notice that someone was in my house. And I was gone. We were doing a night shoot. We were shooting a horror episode on this ranch. So I was gone. But I got the notification. I was driving home. And I got home and someone had broken into my house. There was a big muddy boot print right on the pillow of my bed. It came in through my bedroom.
That feels
there was just
exciting.
This like big muddy boot print on my bed. And they'd been in the house and then they tripped the motion detector and the alarm spooked them out. But I was like, they didn't take anything from my room that they definitely could have taken. Even to this day, I'm like, who was that who was in my house? Was that just like a
burglar? This was during that stalker period?
Yeah, it was exactly like very, very much in that same period. And I think Ben and I kind of had sussed out that person didn't live in LA from our amateur detective work. But all the same, it was like very, very chilling. I got old Fat Face right after that. My first dog here. I was like, all right, time to put a dog in this house. But that was probably the most unnerving, just because contextually, I was like, is this the person who wants to tie me up and watch me get fatter, Seven style?
A truly terrifying event as well. Like, ditto. That left me like shaken so bad. Where when I lived in with Crystal, my ex-wife, when we lived together, she used to come back when she worked at Comedy Works super late at night, and she came in the house and I heard her come in and I heard the door shut and I was like, okay, she's home. So I started to fall asleep. Then I hear fucking banging on the door. Bang, bang, bang. The door was shaking. And I was like, what is she doing down there? And then she comes up and she's like, hey, there's a guy that was on the next corner when I got dropped off that was standing there, and he started to try to talk to me, and I just came in the house and shut the door and lock it. Now he's pounding on the door. And so I yelled. I could just see his shadow because I was above the door, the front door, but there was an awning. So I couldn't see him, but I could see his shadow from our porch light extending out. So I could see someone was there. And I was like, hey, man, what do you want? And he's mumbling, and I'm like, I don't know. You get the fuck out of here. And then he goes, your wife knows who the fuck I am. And he started fucking kicking the door. And so I put my glasses on. I went downstairs, and I was like, what the fuck is going on? She's like, I don't know. This guy was on the corner, and the door is shaking. And then it stops all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, fuck, maybe he left. And so I went to the peephole quietly, and I look through, and there's no one there. I can see the street and everything. Then all of a sudden, homeboy pops right back in front of the people and starts fucking banging on the door. And he's shaking it. And he's like, I'm going to get the fuck. Your wife knows who the fuck I am. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So we called the cops. They show up way later.
To be fair,
later.
That was Crystal's other boyfriend, Randy.
They show up way later, did nothing, right?
And Randy Dukakis.
Yes. It was Randy Dukakis, guys.
His little brother.
Yeah. No. So smash cut. 3 months later, I'm drinking on my front porch during the summer, and there's this car parked in front, and these three like dudes who look out of place in my shitty neighborhood. Like, they're dressed like jocks, just leaning against the car, and they're there for like an hour. And I was like,
I wanted to play softball with you, and we needed a fucking infielder.
I said, you
dude.
Shouldn't be in my neighborhood like that. They're going to eat you alive, Adam. You're coming in with all of your Abercrombie stuff, and you're
short shorts in the summer.
No, they were very jockey. They had like backwards hats on. It was clearly like they were trying to look cool, but they, and so I went up and I was like, what are you guys doing here? I said it from the stoop. And he goes, one of them looks around and he waves me over and he goes, we're just watching the house on the corner over there. And I was like, why? And they go, the Kaiser Permanente rapist lives there. And I was like, who's that? And they're like, there's a guy who's been going around Kaiser Permanente campuses sexually assaulting women. He makes them smoke methamphetamine with them and then assaults them. And then I was like, whoa. And then he's like, well, keep an eye out. And he handed me the photo and it was the fucking guy from that was trying to get into our house. His grandmother lived on that next corner. They ended up catching him. He's been in jail. Oh, they got him that night. There was like helicopters, but it was insane. We may put that on Patreon if it's too long. But anyway,
this reminds me of another terrifying moment. But we've got to turn the corner into positivity lane here.
Yes, this is a shitty thing.
What are some tips and solutions?
You,
it sounds like this is something that everyone, unfortunately, has to deal with at some time or another. This like invasion of your personal safe space by someone who is wants to take your stuff. So obviously I can't get my stuff back. The actual like the crime has been done and I'm out, whatever, a sack of change
the
and some
and the
$2 readers
are gone.
Yeah. But broader than that, what can I do to speed up this recovery or like just kind of like gain the closure on this? I don't want to be glancing out the windows at my car all the time. I don't want to be second guessing. I saw some guy on a bicycle kind of lazily riding around the other night. And I was like, maybe this is the fucking guy. This is the, you know, of course he'd be on a bike. That's an easy way to get away. I'm like, what are you doing? What the fuck is wrong? Like, just leave it. Like leave it alone. But
I
don't know.
Think
do you have any solutions or ideas for how to just like,
yeah. I mean, I think for me, number
normalcy?
One for you, if I'm in your situation, well, you have a healthy attitude about what little money was in there and the small amount of possessions. But from a standpoint of like, I think preparedness is number one. Don't leave shit in your car. I hate saying that. But you can always feel a bit safer knowing that you have not left anything in your car. I hate saying that in a city, but I do think preparedness.
No, I mean, it makes it good. I thought it wasn't visible. So I was like, you can't see anything.
Even then, though,
it looks like the car's empty.
People know you're going to hide
your shit.
There was stuff in there. Like, they know that you're not just going to leave it out on the street. And I think being prepared in any situation will leave you feeling safer. So I think not leaving anything of value that'll stress you out if it's gone or if it's taken, just accepting that whatever you leave in the car, you're okay if it disappears. That to me is a big part of it.
I've kept a signed Patriot Blu-ray in the back seat of my car for since it came out.
No and takers,
that,
yeah.
And that is because I want to be able to watch it at a moment's notice if any friends are down. And so I don't really feel like I should be forced to hide that, Ben. Like this is
You're
America.
Also telling would-be thieves, do not mess with me. This exactly. is something that I think is cool. Do not fuck with me
I'm
because I am unhinged.
Mentally ill because I enjoy the movie.
I am deeply
movie,
unwell.
The Patriot.
And I have a signed
copy.
But Ben does give me a great idea. Yeah, of course, obviously, I'll take all my valuables in, but I've got all the shit that I want to take to Goodwill. It just lives by my front door. It's always there. I can just put this shit in my car.
Oh, my God. That's
leave it unlocked
such a
tonight. This is a win-win. These robbers are like, oh, my God, check it out. I got this.
That's amazing.
This old pair of jeans.
Turn your car into a community refrigerator, the Andrew Orvidal story. He's got eggs in there. He's got anything you need. Just it's going to spoil. Put it out.
Oh, my God, Andrew. Amazing. That's amazing. This is a way to get rid of your unwanted items. I have a juicer I have not used in ages.
Right? Just leave it in there. Oops. 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 I guess I forgot to lock my car. But Adam, in all seriousness, do you have a real idea?
I mean, I'm trying to remember how I regained my sense of peace when our family was robbed while we were asleep.
Yours is
upstairs.
The scariest. I think that's the scariest.
And it fucked with me for years. I think it's just like time and, you know, it not happening again and again and again and again and again. I was like, okay, just time made it better. But I wonder, especially because I know you're like a gadget guy, Ring Cam, do you have any interest in a Ring Cam?
I do have a Ring Cam, but don't call me a gadget guy. What a terrible nickname.
Okay, Inspector Gadget. You love the stuff. So do you want a Ring Cam?
Yeah, Andrew,
you are
a gadget guy. You've always got new shit, like the new thing.
So you're cool with a Ring Cam. How do you feel about a piss cam?
Oh, Adam. Adam.
I asked if you had a
Adam, why does it always come back to
I'm throwing ideas out.
No, but
it
you
could
always
make feel
throw
better
out the idea
to have
of a piss
people
camp.
On the internet watching him pee. I don't know. It's psychologically complex, but maybe he feels like people are watching him in his car. Maybe he wants to control the way that people watch him through his cam that he gets money for. Just an idea. No, the Ring Cam, for sure. Like, do you want to, like, you don't have to be looking out your window. The Ring Cam can be looking out your window.
I have a Ring Cam.
Does that provide any solace?
Yeah, kind of. The Ring Cam, I have a whole bit about this. I don't want to do the bit. But I think the Ring Cam actually just heightens your anxiety more than alleviates it. I think it makes you feel more on edge than more relaxed.
Yeah, it's also
experience.
Awesome because then you have a grainy photograph to give to the cops to do fuck all with. They're not going to do anything. A Ring Cam doesn't fucking do fucking anything. It doesn't.
I have a new idea, and I'm sorry about the piss cam thing, but it was kind of a fun run.
You've been on a real fun run today. You're doing a 5K of riffs. Yeah. Adam just woke up ready to
goof. If no one's here to riff with me, it doesn't mean I stop riffing. And I think you guys need to know
he's
that.
He's been running.
Like, I appreciate.
You know what? We do.
He's the sole runner in a Guffaw 5K in Rift City, and it's a beautiful run, but you're the only one running it. You're the only participant. Well, Adam.
Nobody signed up. People are still out here riffing. This could be an opportunity. This is real. In your new neighborhood, to meet a few neighbors and maybe feel better about your community. Maybe you could knock on a few doors, or if you just see somebody going out to their car, use it as a conversation. We've done this in past episodes where we're like, hey, who are the people in your neighborhood? You're in a new neighborhood. Maybe if you see somebody going to your car, be like, hey, just a heads up, dude, who I don't know. This happened to me the other night. And now not only are you meeting people, feeling like it's a community, but now there's more eyes on the street.
Forming a neighborhood vigilante group. We stalk the neighborhood at night. We swarm these people with baseball bats. I like this. This could work.
I like that. And I want to, if that was the seed of justice that you needed, I say go for it.
Thank you. Well, we'll get into this in a future episode, but man, my new neighborhood sucks. The people who live here, they're stinkers, okay? We'll get into it in a future episode, but
are they?
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think a commiserating on this car break-in is going to work with
it'll
them.
It'll work.
I think
if anything, it's like weather. It's just a safe topic to talk about with the neighbors. Like, did you see the big snow the other day? Hey, my car got broken into the other day. That any neighbor is going to want to hear that talk because it affects their self-interest as well.
That's a good challenge for me then, because I've tried to make some polite, not polite, friendly inroads with
them.
Well,
we all know that your friendly
out.
Inroads are not polite. We've said that for a while. The way you enter your friendly inroads, you don't know how to do them polite.
Hey! My name's Andy! Hey!
Hey, you fucking assholes! I want to get to know you!
Hey, I'm Andy! I just moved in! You want to be friends? Hey! Hey, I'm Andy!
Andrew, that's a 7-year-old girl on a bike.
Yeah, and she fucking hates me, dude. She fucking hates me. She could have been the one that broke into my car.
It's probably her, you fucking...
Was it you? Hey, was it you? I'm just losing my mind
over
here. I love
that so much.
But no, that is a good one, Adam. You're right. That is something that I could talk about. That is a neighborhood event.
I love that.
That I could chat about.
I think it'll work. I think it'll work somewhat. I mean, I live in a pretty close-knit block, and if something happens, like... A neighbor warned me early on. They're like, hey, dude, if you leave your car unlocked, people walk through here and rifle through shit. And I just remembered hearing that and being like, I always, you know, I don't need a push down the OCD lane. Every night I honk Katie's car horn and my car horn. Like, I check on the car to make sure it's locked now.
Yeah.
Because that neighbor told me that.
I've started doing that too, and I hate that little horn, but I do it because I'm like, I forget. I'm not sure if it's locked.
The other thing that I've done when I had my cars broken into, and nothing of any real value to me, nothing that I couldn't replace because in my situation, I'm not in that dire of a financial situation.
You can make a new son. It's not that big of a deal.
Well, that one haunted me. And I, Milo, if you're out there, daddy's still looking. But
it was hot out that day, and that was a rescue bin, not a theft. Okay, go ahead.
No, I think for me, I started after a bit to help me walk away from it thinking that person's life is likely not very good. Like it is it, like if they got change out of it and they were able to sell a pair of reading glasses and they got drugs or food or alcohol or just went to a place to stay or anything that they needed, depending on what it was, or they're just kids going through a coming of age type thing. I did that. Not that I believe karmically I deserve it, but that is a part of a process of growing up. Like I tried to just give it to that situation and be like, you know what? I hope you used it for something good.
I love that as well. I think that's a really good point. I wrote about it in my book and we've talked about it a little in the pile. We got robbed in France, in the south of France, and they took everything and they broke into our car and it was a really horrible time in our lives. And we're like, why karmically are we getting this punch in the face now? And I remember coming to a point days later of like, you know what? It's physical shit. I'm not hurt. They needed that stuff. Good. I hope that they are better off because of it and like can find some help or whatever. But yeah, it's a good place to be at of like nothing bad. You didn't get hurt. No one you love got hurt. Your car is actually fine. And whoever needed it more than you. I think that's a really healthy way to look at
it. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we should just turn a blind eye to theft. And I don't think I would never encourage and say, hey, you're helping. You know what I mean? If you need it more, but on the other hand, we do obviously live in a culture where there are a lot of us that have plenty and a lot of us that have absolutely nothing. The wealth disparity, and especially when I lived in LA and I saw it a lot, I think, you know, it allowed me to walk away from it and be like, maybe it made their life better. I'm fine. I can replace that stuff. And the big thing is, it to listeners and to people listening, if you've had anybody break into your home, you had any of that, talk to somebody. Talk to a therapist. Go talk to somebody. It's an invasion of privacy. It'll make you fucking paranoid. And then go back to your routine, like as quick as you can. Start trying to get back into a normal thing of life, I think is incredibly important. I don't know that this affected you that much, Andrew, but I love Adam's suggestion of using it as an opportunity to meet some of the people around you and let them know that happened to you. I mean, you can.
I say we make that a challenge. I say, Andrew, get out there, know your neighbors, embrace safety together as a block, and let us know how that works for you in future episodes.
Yeah, we'll check back with you in future episodes. And people who are listening, if you can share your own suggestions, we want to know what stories, tell us on social media, or if you're
especially a Patreon, if they're terrifying, like Ben's, where the guy comes back in front of the fucking eye hole in the door.
Oh my
give
God,
us your scary
dude,
stories. I could tell stuff like that for days. I love this shit.
Freaked me the fuck out.
I have a good
out.
Scary one. Maybe we can put it on Patreon.
Yeah, we should. Oh yeah. Let's do a Patreon where we tell a couple more of these in an act four. We'll use it. That's great. Let's do it as an act four. So people who don't know, a fourth actors like our friend Steph, our dedicated fourth actors, we'll throw a couple more of those up there. But
yeah, so hit us up on Patreon, social media at Grolix Comedy. And
Andrew,
Ben, do you want to toss? Do you want to toss to the comedy
clip? I will,
clip?
But Andrew, we're going to check back with you. We're going to see if you did any of this stuff.
That's good.
And right. we'll check back for an update in a future
episode. I'll have an update one way or the other.
But I'm sorry that happened to you, bud.
And also, game recognizes game. So get a new change purse and start collecting more coins, dude. I'm gonna take that move out of your playbook because that's some player shit, and I like that.
Yeah.
That's going
specifically,
in my car.
Don't. It'll get taken out of your car. Did you not learn anything
needs
from
it more
this episode?
Yeah, buddy, I check it every night. and someone needs it more than I do, I'm getting a change purse. Honey, we're going change purse shopping.
Okay. This has been a good conversation. And Andrew, I'm sorry that happened to you. And the people.
Thank you. But you're right. On a large scale, it's nothing. It's a blip, you know. Yeah.
But it affects your world, and we're working on your world to affect the world at large. That's the podcast, dudes.
And
podcast.
Let's listen.
Resilient. My ex girlfriend left her reading glasses here, and I can
Andrew
use these.
Like
I don't need
fucking
my
Dame Edna. This is amazing, dude. You look so good, dude.
People that are just listening to this, Andrew just put on a pair of women's glasses, and it looks like he's going to solve a junior high school mystery very soon.
Yeah, it's amazing. We got to get I'm going to get a photo of these bad boys right now. Andrew, thanks for bringing that. Let's listen to some live stand-up comedy, and this will actually be from Andrew Orvidal, our good pal, Andrew. We're going to listen to a clip from...
No.
Is this a pity throw? I don't want a pity throw to my comedy.
I don't
want to
hear it.
I think the people do. So let's listen to some live stand-up comedy from Andrew Orvidal, and when we return, the best third act in the biz. Third actors, you're up. We're gonna toss to our good news for the day. So make sure you stay tuned with us.
I recently bought a Ring doorbell for my house. I got a video doorbell that I put in my house. If you suffer from anxiety like I do, get yourself a Ring video doorbell. And give it an all-you-can-eat buffet. Just, oh my God, this doorbell is destroying my life. It'll be 2 a.m., I'll be in bed, wide awake, just thinking about how disconnected I am from everything in the world. Just a natural 2 a.m. thought. Oh, my phone just buzzed. What's this? Oh, it's from my Ring video doorbell. Notification, there's motion at your front door. Just a little 2 a.m. motion. At your front door. What could it be? A werewolf? A robber? What's at my fucking front door? So you can just look. You can just tap the button. There's my spooky-ass, dark front yard live camera view. What's out there? Nothing. The scariest possible option. Nothing is out there. Nothing has set off the motion detector that I put on the front of my house. Just some specter roaming the earth. Just tangible enough to set off my doorbell.
Hello, third actors. The time is now. You are here. You are with us. My God. So good to see you.
Fuck. Welcome to the party. You missed a heck of an episode. We talked about breaking.
They don't care. They come for the third act. They stay for the third act. And they have arrived at the third act. You're where you need to be. We have a new segment that we're doing. It's a little bit of good news in the world. Kind of put a little more pep in your step. Andrew, I heard you got something you want to share with our
third actors. I got something.
What you got,
I think,
girl?
Doesn't it have a special name, Ben? Ben has a special name for it.
Some good fucking news. That's what it
right.
is.
Yeah,
remember?
That's right.
Finally,
that's right.
Some
yeah,
good fucking news. All right, right hit us
right.
with
spelled
it.
Spelled F-A-C-K-I-N-G. That's right. This is a new bit where we try to find some real good news in the world, and I've got one. I've got one. This happened recently, at least when we recorded this. When you're listening to it, it may be old news, but it's hot news today. President Biden, heard of him? Just blanket pardoned all federal marijuana possession and marijuana use charges. That
Whoa.
Just happened.
Whoa. That's
which
crazy.
Which is wild because that's, I know all of us here, we live in Denver, Colorado, with super permissive pot laws for a while. Denver was actually the most permissive place on planet Earth for pot, even more so than Amsterdam. And it felt very weird to drive around and just see literally like blocks of dispensaries when you know there were people in jail and in prison for selling weed or using weed.
Yeah.
Felt pretty weird and
oh, and
gross.
Also, let's not to be performative or sound quote unquote woke, as people love to make that sound like that's a negative term. But let's not also forget that disproportionately the people that were incarcerated or charged with crimes for these were black and brown people. Like, there is no question.
For sure. And then there are people making hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars off of these dispensaries selling weed.
As ganjapreneurs, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. So this is good news. This is great news, long overdue news. Chalk one up for President Biden. That's one to negative 456.
Andrew, that was good news. And Ben, would you like to close the segment by saying this has been...
Finally, some good fucking news. And that's...
Nice.
And I'm going to say that at the end of every one. I'm going to say, Andrew, finally, some good fucking news. I think it's got a nice ring. I know you guys aren't on board with it, but I'll tell you what.
No,
I
we
suffered.
Hate the New England of it, but I think we're
But I like that you're happy,
But hear me out, Adam. The amount of Patriot dog shit we sat throughout this episode, and third actors, I know this is going to be non sequitur for you. I feel it's okay if you deal with a little bit of a New England accent, considering there was so much about the movie Patriot, which I want to reiterate is a garbage film. That is a
He didn't speak with a sort of fucking Connecticut Turnpike accent that you're speaking with. That's not how he spoke during the movie. And had he, I would not have enjoyed it.
Is there a Connecticut Turnpike? I don't think there
is. Yes, there is a Connecticut Turnpike. There 100% is. Letterman used to always get arrested on it, ripping from New York to his home in Connecticut. He would always get pulled over for speeding on the Connecticut Turnpike.
Andrew, thank you for bringing some good friggin' news to us, and that's amazing.
You're welcome. I have more good news coming down the pipe. Buckle up.
We've got lots of good news. We're going to keep doing this. Let's do it.
Plugs. Andrew, you got the first one. What you got?
I got plugs. I got two plugs. On Friday, January 26th, I'm going to be headlining High Hops Brewery up in Windsor, Colorado. If you're a Northern Colorado fan, or hey, even Wyoming, Nebraska, I don't know where you are, come on over to Windsor, make the drive. That should be a bunch of fun. I'm going to be headlining that show. Another plug, February 9th and 10th.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about that. February 9th and 10th, I'm going to be recording my third album and shooting a special at the Denver Comedy Underground.
Yes.
Check out the Denver Comedy Underground website for those tickets, because I want to see you. Yeah, you specifically, the person listening to this there at those shows.
If you
can't
don't know,
go, I'll have a headache.
If you don't know, Andrew's been doing this for a long time. He's got a number of great albums. He's also been on Late Night, but this is your first streaming special, right? This is the first one you've taped, if I'm correct.
First video medium of my comedy.
You guys have to go see this. I still argue he's the funniest one of the four of us, although Ron is a close second. Producer
moving
Ron.
Up.
Yeah. He's climbing the ranks.
His ratio is so high.
He's crushing it.
Is this about the Patriot thing? This is about the Patriot still, isn't it?
I have a plug for those listening. February 2nd and 3rd, Spells will be playing Oscar Blues. We're going to be playing Oscar Blues in Denver on Friday, February 2nd, and then we'll be playing Oscar Blues on Saturday, February 3rd in Colorado Springs. Both those shows will be with our pals in the bands Chap and Ipecac. Great band names. So make sure you come on out, dance with us. It's going to be a rowdy time. As always, tickets are in the show notes below. Adam, do you have anything to plug?
Can't go to Spells. My arthritis will be flaring up, but I will be at the Grolix January 27th, as will Ben. As will Andrew, full Grolic strength. And we have Zach Reinert and Kiri Shabazz. Get tickets before that show sells out. Our live shows are a blast. If you're on the fence, fly to Denver, come to a live show. Ben will kiss you on the mouth.
Yes, he will. Big thanks to our intrepid producer, Ron Doyle, for making this show what it is. It sounds beautiful. It moves much smoother than it does when we actually tape it. Thank you, producer Ron. As always, big thanks to Mike Henderson for your help recording at our live show. Theme music brought to you by Charlie Continental. And remember, you can follow us on social media everywhere at Grolix Comedy. And if you can, support us and get ad-free episodes, boy crazy, birthday shout-outs, and all kinds of other perks on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Grolix Saves. Otherwise, that's an episode, y'all. And
legally, that is an episode.
That's legally an episode. That's how we have to end it. Legally, y'all, that's an episode. And yep. We'll be back.
I want to be the first in the new format to say, play us out, Charlie.
No, no, it. God.
I want to steal the it. Second. No. This is the second in the new format.
But it's the
Adam.
First steal.
Oh, okay.
Go watch The Patriot. See you next episode.
What a terrible close. Terrible. Go watch The Patriot.